Warning, the podcast Under the Stairs is not safe for work. We'll feature movie spoilers and language which most listeners may find offensive. Brought to you in conjunction with Legion Podcast Network. Welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. Hi everyone and welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. This is bonus episode number 83. I'm your host Duncan McLeish and welcome to the show. Now bonus episode number 83 is our movie club, the listener reviews, May 2018. That's right, it has been a whole 3 weeks since we kicked out this challenge. The challenge was super simple. All I asked you to do was go and rake out this little gem of a movie called Night of the Comet. Watch that movie and come back with your review. Now, we did not get as many as we usually got. I think, truth be told, we got somewhere in between 4 and 5 reviews of Night of the Comet, which I will be doing. So this episode will be a super short, which might not necessarily be a bad thing. I know there are some people out there just now who are still working through the Baz V Clive Barker episode. The lofty 5-hour listening runtime on that one has been quoted back to me by several listeners as getting him through an entire week to and from work, which is insane. That you're listening to Baz every single day of the week before you go into work and after you come out of work. That sounds like a nightmare to me, ladies and gents, an absolute nightmare. Before we get into this episode, as always, I'd like to kick out a little bit of housekeeping notes right at the very start. Kicking off the very first one, and I'll go into more detail about this one at the end of the episode. This is the final episode which will be featured on the Legion Podcast Network. That's right, this is out on Thursday, May 31st, and as of June the 1st, all future Podcasts Under the Stairs episodes will only be available through the official Podcast Under the Stairs feed. So depending, ladies and gents, where you resource your podcast from, you want to make sure you're pointing directly at the Podcast Under the Stairs feed on things like Apple Podcasts, for example. If you listen to us through Stitcher, you're fine. Just make sure you listen to Podcasts Under the Stairs. Tune in once again. Fine, Podcasts Under the Stairs. If you check us out through our SoundCloud account, you're already listening to the direct feed anyway. If you subscribe via an RSS feed in the show notes for this episode, I will post the direct link to the RSS feed, and that way you just make sure you're subscribed to that one, and that way no one gets left behind. Now, I don't know the full ins and outs of when the official Podcast Under the Stairs episodes will disappear from Legion. Bo might just keep them around forever. If that's the case, that's fine. Maybe save them a bit of work, because I know there are many, many episodes over there. But if they do vanish, I imagine that it won't happen right on the 1st of, you know, June. I imagine they'll probably kick around for a couple of weeks anyway before they're decommissioned off that. And like I say, all future episodes will be running from this one. There'll be a couple of changes, not really noticeably huge changes moving forward on Podcasts Under the Stairs. Certainly from my point of view, we've been in this incarnation for about a year now, year and a bit, with our opening music and the way we have done certain like album art cover and stuff. So over the next period of time, that'll be changing as well. We'll be freshening up a few bits and bobs under the stairs in anticipation of what will be a very busy June and an incredibly busy summer with our Teapot's Top 10 series, looking at the 1980s with 10 fantastic guests. So yeah, tons of stuff on the horizon, so bear with us while we sort our shit out, get all recalibrated, and then get ready to deliver a thumping summer of horror podcast content. And then before you know it, ladies and gents, the fall will be upon us. Autumn will be here in the UK, which means we gear ourselves up for Bazoween, as we're now calling it, And we've got some really cool ideas about what we're replacing Baz v Halloween with. The Baz has some pretty cool ideas. I have some pretty cool ideas. When it all comes together, it's going to be kind of awesome. So yeah, before you know, it'll be the end of the year. So basically what I'm telling you is, we're about to hit into June and the year's almost finished. So there we go. Where did 2018 go? Who knows? Who knows? Right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take my first break of this episode. You're going to hear promos for shows that I love. You're also going to hear a little bit of music when I return. We're going to be listening to your listener reviews for Night of the Comet right after this.
This is a test of the emergency podcasting system. Listen to the Psychosemantic Podcast. Politics, movies, and political movies. Find us on Facebook, iTunes, Stitcher, LegionPodcasts.com. The Psychosemantic Podcast. Thank you.
And welcome back. So, Night of the Comet time, ladies and gents. Now, I'm going to keep a promise. Promise that I made to the first person that sent their email in. Now, this is our good buddy Scott from Scott and Liam vs. Evil. Now, Scott asked me to do one thing when he sent this in. It's an instruction, even in the heading of his email. It was very, very simple. It says, do not read until you record Night of the Comet Movie Club. And Scott, I can guarantee you and ensure you that I did not look at this email prior to this recording. I have just literally opened it. And let's dive right in, ladies and gents. Scott says, hi Duncan, long time listener, first time emailer here. I love what you guys do on the podcast Under the Stairs. You know, I always thought your name for the show came from that horror movie, The People Under the Stairs, but it's actually because you're a Harry Potter fan, right? The cupboard under the stairs, question mark. Anyway, I'm here to talk about The Night of the Comet for Movie Club, and what a belter of a movie you've chosen. You were right in your intro episode for Movie Club that you were planning an episode with myself as a guest to discuss this movie plus Threads. A sort of campy, then bleak, realistic comparison of apocalypse movies. Then the Baz got wind of it and hijacked my thunder and forced his choice of movie into the mix. He loves forcing it in. So, Night of the Comet. I've seen this movie for the first time a year or so ago. It completely passed me over the years of video shop horrors, so I don't share your fond nostalgic memories of the movie. However, unlike some cunts who watch, for example, The Goonies or Stand By Me as adults and claim they are shit, I watched Night of the Comet and fell instantly in love with it. The story is straightforward and predictable, but that adds to the enjoyment. It's a movie you can switch your brain off to and enjoy. The performances from our two leading ladies are fantastic. Perhaps therein lies the reason this movie stands out in 1984. These characters weren't final girls through circumstance or being virgins or any of the now cliched reasons. They ended up final girls from the beginning as they were strong and tough and badass. Kelly Maroney should have been a massive name back in the 80s in my humble opinion. What a babe. And the acting in her scene where her stepmother cracks her on the jaw and sends her over the 80s couch, top notch. Comedy timing perfected. Her whole scene in the radio station, Teenage Comet Zombies, is classic. That's right, this is a zombie movie, eh? Purists, and I know I am guilty of arguing over true zombies quite often, may say that this isn't a proper zombie movie. But it certainly is an apocalypse movie, and I love the huge empty scenes of LA they managed to create. And I am led to believe these scenes were possibly on the budget as they were filmed at dawn on Christmas Day. Lucky enough, it never snows in California as the whole city grinds to a halt on Christmas. I'm sure some lights or decorations can be noticed sometimes in the backgrounds. Also, it was the 80s. You could force young actresses into doing whatever you wanted them to do back then. Whether it be working on Christmas morning or sucking you off to get the part, fucking Weinstein ruining it for everyone. Did that translate as a joke? And that I wasn't being serious? Never force anyone into doing something they don't want to do. Subtly manipulate them into thinking it was their idea. That's how I got my wife to marry me. The red hue aesthetic over this movie gives it a brilliant feel. Like the comet is always looming over them and they can't escape what's now in their world. Even though the spoiled Valley girls romp through this movie laughing and smiling and shooting guns, Daddy would have got us Uzis. The colouring of this movie is always there to remind us that they can never escape this new reality, and once the novelty of an empty world has worn off, they are screwed, quite frankly. It gives a movie a deeper level if you want to dissect it in that way. It's an 80s movie, so it has a banging 80s soundtrack, right? You bet your high-waisted, ass-elongated panties it does. Long email short, I fucking love this movie. If you haven't seen it, watch it. If you don't like it, fuck you, with all due respect. 4.5 out of 5. Peace out, Scott McKenzie, co-owner of Scott and Liam vs. Evil, CEO of Dr. Ged's Hot Sauce. And I, Duncan, think he's an all-round awesome dude. For the record, Scott may have written that at the end of his email. I'm just going to say he may have. I'm just going to shove that out there that maybe he didn't. Maybe those are my own words. Thank you very much for that email, Scott. Yeah, we never got to do a review on Podcasts Under the Stairs, but we kind of did. I like the way we did it. And that bleak-ass episode that Baz wants us to do will feature somewhere out in the year, and it will probably result in us all just saying, why are humans even on this planet? Fuck the world, I'm going home to die. So there we go. Right, let's move on to our next review. And of course, it's from our good buddy David Garrett Jr., becoming a fast regular on the old movie club. He says, hello again, Duncan. Reaching out to submit my entry for May's movie club. Night of the Comet was the film, and I had heard of, but had never seen it before. Since this was my first time viewing, I want to thank you for picking this film, because I had a lot of fun with it. I thought Catherine Mary Stewart and Kelly Maroney were just fun characters, as well as being attractive. The film was a lot of cheesy fun, and part of that is from their Valley Girl personas. I thought the soundtrack to the film was also fun in a way that only the 1980s could produce. This including the montage of girls just want to have fun as they try on new clothes in the opening song. I knew that coming in this was a zombie film, but I didn't realise how little there are zombies in it. That is one aspect I thought the film could have more of, especially since this wasn't a traditional version. I thought the ones in the film looked good, and being able to talk set them apart from many films in the genre. The angle with the mad scientist was good though. I actually don't completely disagree with what they're trying to do in finding a cure to all of this, even though their methods make them villains. Overall, I can see this film is flawed, but if you come at it and just want to have fun, then it's a good time. For my rating, I would go with a 3.5 out of 5. Can't wait for next month's challenge and listening to it, what everyone thought about this film. See you next month, David Garrett Jr. Thank you very much for submitting that. Always good to know that sometimes a little suggestion on Movie Club prompts someone to go and see a film they've never seen before. I like to think that's maybe part of our civic duty under the stairs, is to force you at times to watch things that you maybe wouldn't watch, and then make you write about them. It's like being back at school. Kind of love that. Right, let's move on to our next review. And our next one comes in from Andrew Hoekstra. He says, I've always been a huge 80s film nut growing up, but had never heard of this film until about a year ago and decided to check it out. I loved this movie. So much pop 80s cornball fun a la Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Two leading ladies are filled with spunk, have great chemistry and their dialogue together, lots of great one-liners, and the opening song, The Whole World Is Celebrating, just gets me amped up every time I start this movie. My only minor complaints are that I wish we could have got a bit more mutant zombie encounters, and the leading guy is a bit boring and forgettable. 4.5 out of 5. Thank you very much for submitting that review in, Andrew. I want to see that's your second that you've submitted. Maybe your first, but I want to see you've done two. And that's super cool in my books. Always great to hear from you, sir. Which means we're now swinging into our good buddy Tim Walker. Tim Walker also becoming a firm repeat offender, sending in emails under the stairs for Movie Club. He says, hi Duncan and Teapots people. Night of the Comet, a post-apocalyptic sci-fi zombie teen drama from 1984. It's directed by Tom Eberhardt, who I mainly know from his previous movie, Soul Survivor, which I heartily recommend to anyone. I agree with you there on that one, Tim. Big fan of Soul Survivor. There's not nearly as much humour in that one. It's kind of like It Follows or Final Destination, but it came out in 83. That one is almost the definition of a hidden gem, but this one is a bit underrated too, I think. I would say Night of the Comet is kind of like Dawn of the Dead with young people, without very many zombies, no gore, and quite a bit of humour. It also has a hell of a lot of 80s music, the most well-known being Cyndi Lauper's Girls Just Want to Have Fun. It's also a Christmas horror movie, at least technically. Anyway, back to the Dawn of the Dead comparison. Night of the Comet has our protagonists, at least for part of the movie, holed up in a mall. While they're there, they run into an armed gang that wants their stuff and wants them. To go along with that, the whole movie seems to be exploring the same ideas as Dawn of the Dead, about having a place all of you can go with your friends, a mall or a radio station, for example. It reminded me of a skit of the old Mystery Science Theatre 3000 episode. They were watching an Italian post-apocalyptic movie called Warrior of the Lost World. They were discussing, once you factor out the massive numbers of dead people, then you can have a lot of fun with stuff after the apocalypse. Crow said that he'd put on a football helmet and pads and run up and down the street diving through plate glass windows. Or he'd put bricks on accelerators and send cars screaming down the highway for miles on end. I'm reminded of that with every post-apocalyptic movie that has any fun scenes in it. Not the super grim movies, of course. This movie is not. Which might make some horror fans not like it. Not enough horror, I suppose, but I dig it. The humour works well enough for me. I know I'm not a horror comedy fan, as my review of The Cottage made brutally clear, but I like the comedy in this one. There are a number of scenes that make me laugh, and not every comedy does. Night of the Comet has a really fun atmosphere. It has a cool look. I love the red hazy cityscapes and the almost giallo-like colours in various scenes. Plus, I have a bit of a crush on Kelly Maroney, who plays Samantha. Kelly was also in Chopping Mall and The Zero Boys, so I think she qualifies as an 80 screen queen. Why not? Anyway, there's a lot of things to dig about this one. I'd also add that this is a horror film you can definitely show to a non-horror fan, or a casual fan, a normie if you will, because it's just fun. I definitely want to stop here and rate the movie, since I seem to forget that half the time. I give Night of the Comet 3.5 stars out of 5. With future viewings, it might easily go up to 4 or more. Yeah, this movie is an 80s gem. One that doesn't get talked about that often, but should. Take care, Tim. Thank you very much for submitting that review. And Tim, always great to hear. And I'm glad you had fun with this one. I know that you're not the big horror comedy fan. And if we can find one that we mutually love, then I think that's kind of awesome, sir. Kind of awesome. And the next listener email comes in from our good buddy, Don Anelli. He says, so, for a first time watch, I have to say Night of the Comet was fun, if not entirely as good as the reputation I've heard from others. I think a lot of this might be nostalgia, seeing the teens at the mall and their fashion and behaviour, which I missed out on, and it doesn't really register to me having missed out on that scene. That makes this somewhat of a struggle at times to get through until the comet arrives and the zombie invasion begins, when we get a ton of character actors appearing to help them on their journey. This keeps us interesting, but overall the toned down atmosphere and the comedic leanings give this a way too light feel to have them in any real danger, and zips up with a bland feeling. Bland, watchable, has its moments but nothing too important. Makes this a perfect middle of the road affair with me, in a 2.5 out of 5 rating on the Netflix scale, plus one more film to cross off that bucket list. Thank you very much for that, Don. Yep, not every film recommendation can be a home run, but we can be safe in the knowledge that most of the recommendations here are helping people tick off movies, hopefully, from the lists of movies I've still to get around to watch. But once again, thanks very much, man, for sending in your email. Always a pleasure to hear from you, and you powered through, because I know for a fact you've been very busy doing your other podcast stuff, and you made sure you crammed this in the last day to get a review in for me. Right, so that's all the reviews in, all but one, ladies and gents. So I'm going to take my final break of the show, and we're going to play a little audio review from another first-time reviewer to this The Movie Club. It is a long-time friend of the podcast, Gary Hill from the Cinema Beef podcast. He's going to take us out with his review, and then I'm going to be right back to close out the show right after this.
Hello, Duncan. This is Gary. This is the first submission ever for your movie club. I've never done this before, and I don't know why. I just keep missing out. Not because you say, hey, you got 3 weeks to do this. No, because I have the attention span of a gnat sometimes, and I forget to do it. And some of them I've really wanted to do. So I've chosen this movie, which is Night of the Comet. It's an 80s, air quotes, classic. You can't see me doing this, obviously. But, this is a film that I have a weird relationship with, because on one end, I don't like it very much as far as my initial viewing of it. So I decided to come back and give it a redemption watch for your movie club. And I gotta say that I appreciated it for what it did this time around way more than before. Let me explain, first of all, because Duncan loves when I try to shit on classic horror movies. But I wouldn't call this a horror film. But the main problem that you have with a film like this, especially when it was coming out on VHS, and even when MGM put the DVD out, it was long overdue. I forget when that came out, the early 2000s. I went to Best Buy and I bought it because I heard about this movie, about this zombie post-apocalyptic type movie with these two hot chicks in it, and they're right there on the cover, and there's zombies all over the cover. So it's pretty much coined by the people who put this DVD out to MGM, and almost the filmmakers themselves. You listen to the trailer, you know, all you common zombies out there, and you see the cover of the Arrow Blu-ray, which has that great looking zombie cop on there. It's coined as a zombie movie, where if you look at it, it's not really about the zombies. So when you go in there expecting a zombie movie where with hot chicks fighting these zombies, you get it, but you don't get it, because deep down inside, this 80s horror movie is a really campy sci-fi B movie, you know, a la like a Repo Man, you know, to where if you haven't seen the film, it stars first of all, I'm a Catherine guy, not a Kelly guy, but not in an insulting way. I love both of them, but if I had to choose one, Catherine Mary Stewart wins over Kelly Maroney, just by a hair. You know, I've always loved Kelly as well. She supports my charity auction pretty good too. But anyway, these two girls, I love, you know, that they're kind of airheady. I mean, you know, in a way, but they really go out there and explain, you know, how they're able to use automatic weapons because their father's a colonel out there fighting the Sandinistas. That's how you know this movie's kind of dated. They're talking about the goddamn Sandinistas. I like that they're just not able to pick up a gun and miraculously fire it. That they've been known, they've learned how to survival skills from their soldier father. So that's a plot point I didn't catch before, and I appreciate their characters more now for that reason. You know, comic comes, everybody they find out turns to dust, with the exception of some survivors who may or may not be infected by this zombie virus. You know, maybe because some, of course, their symptoms, you know, aren't as fast as other ones. And in Kelly Maroney's case, she was supposedly in a shed, so she was protected by the comet blast, and that plays a part in the movie. But anyway, this movie itself, it's... I want to say that I really like it, but I still really don't. There's a lot of good reasons to like it, though. I mean, you have a lot of great genre actors in here, including Jeffrey Lewis and Mary Warrenov. They show up as like these people, these scientists who, I guess, who are gonna be the last survivors and everything. But then they just start killing each other off. I don't know. Yeah, it's really, really strange. A little movie strange. They have the whole, you know, let's go to the mall scene where they have the bootleg Cyndi Lauper, Girls Just Want to Have Fun song playing. I think they may have been able to get it. I don't know what the story behind that is. I'm sure there's a commentary on the Shout Factory Blu-ray in the States, and of course the Arrow one in the UK, that will explain why they couldn't get the rights to that. I'm not going to dive that far into it. I watched it on Vudu here in the States. It's free to watch with some ads. And they don't have the commentary on there, obviously. But the nitty gritty, there's some fun stuff in there. There's some real peril in here, especially in the mall scene where they get abducted by these guys who they look deformed, so you're not quite sure what's going on. Were they damaged by the comet? Were they their symptoms all the way there? Where they're almost zombies, but they're not quite zombies. But that's another real peril you have, that the scientists who supposedly kill Kelly Maroney, and then all of a sudden, hey, I'm back again. You know, they did that thing, or they just like shoehorn her into the end and say, hey, she didn't really die. I forget how she survived this supposed death serum that they gave her, but it was it's really silly. This whole film is silly. I've always loved like matte painting backgrounds in movies, and they did that a couple times in this, and it's pretty prevalent in a lot of the films like Death Race 2000 and Killer Clowns from Outer Space. That matte painting sky background, you know, I love films like that. So it's really two sides of the coin. Where you got this great B movie plot of this comet destroying everything, all the people, everything, all the buildings are intact, so the survivors can go have a great time, apparently, you know, taking over radio stations and finding possibly gay Mexicans to hang out with. That was a supply I didn't need. Oh, what if he's gay? Yeah, how are you gonna repopulate the world then? But then I guess, you know, that would be a question, his sexual orientation, but I'd imagine he'd push that aside to repopulate the Earth, sort of. But all in all, it's fun. I recommend watching. It's one of those films where, you know, I'd say don't listen to me. I'd say watch it for yourself and form your own opinion, because I know there's a lot of love out there for this film. I don't hate it. I'd say way back when I originally saw it and said, this isn't the movie I was expecting, I would give it that Netflix grade of the one star. But as it stands right now, and in its current state, in my current almost 40, still less than after Catherine and Kelly, they're competing because they're still both pretty hot, even as middle-aged women who are doing fabulous things. And I'd have to give it go up two stars and give it a 3. I forget how that works in your Netflix rating, your original Netflix rating, not thumbs up, thumbs down. But it gets a 3. Watch it for yourself. Like I said, I don't hate it now. It's just not a favorite of mine. I mean, it's not something I go back to watch too often. But I watched it for you dunks. Love you, brother. Can't wait for the summer series. It's going to be awesome. Although, I have to find out for myself if Baz is tells the truth when he says that Andy Blockley is pretty worthless. But I don't think he is. Much love to you, Miss Blockley. Much love to you, Dunks. And long live the Baz. Go play with your common zombies and your records. And go right at this apocalypse till the end of time. Much love. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the podcast Under the Stairs.
And you've been listening to the podcast Under the Stairs. This has been bonus episode number 83. This has been Movie Club. And we have been looking at, ladies and gents, a little bit of Night of the Motherfucking Comet. That's right. Night of the Comet for y'all, all y'all, and y'all. Talking about some Night of the Comet, I legitimately do not know what happened to me there. So yeah, thanks very much to everyone that submitted a review. Once again, making this a whole hell of a lot of fun to do. I look forward to bringing Movie Club back in June. We are powering strong, almost the 1 year anniversary of Movie Club. Can you believe that? That's right, that blows my mind. So, what do we do here? Well, I think the first thing I want to do before I give all the plugs and all the rest is just once again remind everyone that's listening to this episode that this is the final Podcast Under the Stairs episode on Legion Podcast Network. The next episode that drops, which will be Sunday's episode, will be another 80 Films Italian Collection review, looking at Hitchhike from 1977, starring a little bit of David Hess. And that will be out only on Podcast Under the Stairs feeds. If you are listening to this Apple Podcast, make sure you're subscribed to the Podcast Under the Stairs feed, and all that other stuff that I'm about to talk about. I also just want to take a second to thank everyone at Legion Podcast Network. I want to thank David Anders Jr. for originally inviting us across to what was the League of Extraordinary Podcasts back in 2014, maybe? Way back at the start of what was the initial incarnation of the network. It was a huge privilege and honour to be surrounded by shows that we had basically kind of copied and emulated back in the day to kind of start our show off. Oh, I think we were only maybe 6 months in when we joined the network. And obviously, Bo Ransdell, who is not only a phenomenal podcaster and someone so easy to work with when doing podcast content on Legion, but, you know, he's a podcast co-host of mine, has been on here many times, but someone that I genuinely count as a very near and dear friend, who has done quite a lot to elevate Podcasts Under the Stairs in the time that we have been over on Legion Podcast Network, and is doing the same with a ton of new shows that are coming out on the network that are just brilliant. It's no secret that Kruger Nation has now been acquired by Legion Podcast Network, and any fans of Johnny Krug out there, get yourself ready, because that man is going to come back with a bang. All the podcasters over there that we've worked with in the past, and all the podcasts in the future for Legion, you will have our, you know, undying and unwavering support for the network. We'll just be doing it just from a little distance, and I'm sure that the same names and voices, etc., will be appearing on Podcasts Under the Stairs as we move on. It's been a fantastic 4 years on the network, and I thoroughly enjoyed every second of it. And yeah, it's been really, really cool. This is where I do all my plugging now. So yeah, this is to make sure that you do not miss episodes. If you're listening on the Legion feed, pay attention now, because the Podcast Under the Stairs, as always, can be checked out on Apple Podcasts. Come across, subscribe to the Podcast Under the Stairs feed. That's the exclusive one. It's the one that features the Baz V Horror artwork over there. Make sure you're subscribed. That way you get the episodes as and when they drop, and access to the entire back catalogue of T-Putz content. Leave us a rating and a review. Ratings, super important. The more of them we get, 5 stars for example, the higher up the iTunes charts we're pushed for people to come across and check out our stuff. Also though, while you're at it, ladies and gents, leave us a review. Those reviews, also super important. It's your word typed down on the internet for all time, telling people why they should check out the Podcast Under the Stairs. Word of mouth, super important as well. Tell your friends, family, loved ones and enemies, check out Podcast Under the Stairs. If you listen to us through SoundCloud, you have nothing to fear. Nothing changes there. If you listen to us through TuneIn, same idea. If you're listening to us through Stitcher, make sure it's the official Podcast Under the Stairs one they're listening to. And Google Play, once again, you should be fine. No need to change anything over. If you're subscribing to us through an RSS feed, I've posted in the show notes the correct RSS feed, the official one for Podcast Under Stairs. So we're all sorted there. Whew. Come across our website, steeputzcast.com. You can support the podcast by buying some merch, by clicking the merch tab on our website, or going direct to our merch page, which can be found at teeputzcast.bigcartel.com. Some teapugs pins over there and posters still available. All money goes back into supporting the podcast. Supporting the cause, ladies and gents. Supporting the cause. Come across to our Facebook group page, facebook.com/groups/teeputzcast, and interact with the Baz on the twin prongs of social media sexiness, Twitter and Instagram. Both can be followed at teeputzcast. So there we go. Final episode on Legion Podcast Network. End of an era, and what a fucking journey it's been. Absolutely amazing. The Podcast Under the Stairs will return on Sunday with disc number 8 of our 88 Films Italian Collection series, looking at Hitchhike from 1977. But until then, wherever you are, whatever you're up to, and whatever the time zone is out there in this big bad world of ours, please take care of yourselves. This is Duncan McLeish broadcasting live from under the stairs, and I'm signing off.